This is a model published in Journal of Operations Management, and that's that's the leading journal in operations management, and they're saying that employee satisfaction leads to service quality, leads to customer satisfaction. We have a full mediation, partial mediation here, and then customer satisfaction is a mediator on firm profitability, and it's a full mediation. So employee satisfaction and service quality can influence firm profitability only through customer satisfaction. So that's the, it's an over-identified model, because we have 1, 2, 3, 4 variables, which means that we have one exogenous variable, we have 3 variances. Then we have some amount of correlations, and then we have only 4 regression paths. So this is a testable model. We can test this full mediation. We could add a path here. And a path here. We have at least 2 degrees of freedom in the analysis. Yeah, we have exactly 2 degrees of freedom. What kind of problems do you think, do you note in the model? We don't have any, but everything is significant, so they are, the authors are happy. How these are actually measured is not relevant. But let's think, what is the correlation between satisfaction and profitability? How do you define it from the model?
Traversing the path,
yeah,
satisfaction, customer satisfaction, and firm profitability.
Yeah.
Plus satisfaction, customer satisfaction, firm profitability.
Yeah, so other than employee satisfaction causing service quality, customer satisfaction, then firm profitability, employee satisfaction and firm profitability are independent.
What?
So other than these two, these causal effects here, they are, If we control for this effect here, then after that, firm profitability and employee satisfaction are independent.
With this model, I can justify a decision, give everyone 20 days off every month, then you will have employee satisfaction and then you would expect firm profitability.
Yeah, well, you could. That was not what I was after. So, do you think that employee satisfaction is related to firm performance?
If let's say there's a
reason firm profitability starts to decline, the firm starts to lay off people, do you think it influences employee satisfaction?
It should decrease, I think.
Yeah, so we should also say the people who work in highly profitable companies, they probably get all kind of perks because the company can afford it. And the people who work on very low profitability companies, they have a risk of being laid off because the company could not sustain that amount of employees. So we cannot really say that the only reason that employee satisfaction and for profitability are correlated is because employee satisfaction causes firm profitability. But it's also the other way. So we can say that profitability causes satisfaction. It's nicer to work in a company that makes a lot of money than it's to work in a company that is in a constant distress.
So that was the problem because I cannot see it. So this way you only say that there's causality or something. I mean, when you put the arrows, you're implying causality.
Yeah. Well, we normally want to use structural equation models to test causal theory.
Okay. So this supposes that only employee satisfaction can cause profitability and not the other
way. Not the other way.
And that's the problem.
That's the problem. That's the problem that I'm after. There was a good point that you could increase employee satisfaction in a way that actually decreases profitability by giving everybody.
My point was actually there are other factors affecting, other independent factors affecting firm profitability, and if you only consider employee satisfaction, then you cannot explain.
There are other factors. But the problem that I was after is that the firm profitability leads to employee satisfaction. And that is also, the correlation between satisfaction and profitability is just some of the products of these two paths.
Why would the authors leave this relationship out?
Why would they leave it out?
Yes,
you may not think through your model when you first do it. Maybe you're using regression analysis first to estimate this piecewise, which you could, and it would be a reasonable strategy, and you can't include a feedback loop in a regression analysis.
This model, the reverse direction might be also possible. Doesn't make this model invalid, but does make the causality claim does not.
Well, it depends on, there are two ways a model can be, a structural regression model can be invalid. This is explained in Leslie Hayduk's article in 2004 really well. I cited 2014, I cited somewhere on the slides. But there are two ways the model can be invalid. It can be misfitting, so it doesn't reproduce the data, and it can be causally misspecified. So if it's causally misspecified, these will actually correspond to any causal relationships, or there is a missing causal relationship. That usually leads to the model not fitting the data well. But that the model fits the data doesn't necessarily mean that it's causally correctly specified. We want to make causal claims, because that's what theory is. We say that something happens, and how, when, and why it happens. So that's essentially, we're saying that something causes other thing, and we make that kind of claim. So we want to have, be it regression, be it structural regression model, multi-level modeling, we want to have causal interpretations of our results. So an obvious thing to do here is to add a feedback. So we add a firm profitability and back to employee satisfaction. And that's what actually is estimated in the paper. So you can do these kind of model configurations in structural regression modeling, so we can have a feedback. So employee satisfaction leads to customer satisfaction, leads to profitability, which in turn leads to satisfaction. So there is kind of like this loop, self-reinforcing loop. When you're doing better, your employees are more satisfied, which leads you to do better, which leads to more satisfied employees. So we have this kind of like spiral of excellence, or however you want to call it. Any problems with this kind of model?
Maybe customer satisfaction as well provides some employee satisfaction.
Yeah, you could add more paths. But this model has a statistical problem as well.
Can you estimate it?
You can estimate it.
There could be not.
They have estimates. So they have proven that it can be estimated.
Well, I mean with the feedback.
They have estimates. Therefore, it proves that it can be estimated.
There could be mitigators, meaning when companies make a lot of money, they might decrease the quality because they don't care so much.
Let's not focus on what other variables we could add to the model. So.
There might be other paths.
Yeah, that is true as well, but let's just focus on what we have here.
Well, I look at this and I cannot understand what is the exogenous variable here.
There's no exogenous variable. Why would that be an issue?
Because that's what we have about before.
Do you always have to have an exogenous variable?
What is exogenous? The dependent variable.
Well, this one is independent variable for that regression analysis. These are independents for that regression analysis. So the exogenous variable, we're going to talk about exogenous and endogenous a bit later, tomorrow more. but we don't have, all these are endogenous, so every variable has an incoming path, and that is a problem. Why it's a problem, let's look at what is the correlation between satisfaction and profitability.
Never ending.
No. It ends. Because we only can go through one variable once. So we go this path here, that path here, and this path here. So that's the correlation.
But you can do
You can only go through each variable once.
Oh.
So you can't go all over and over and over. So you can just go here, here, and here.
Okay.
So you have three paths that you can go from between employee satisfaction and profitability. So we can calculate an implied matrix, no problem. So what's the problem? Let's say that we have a large correlation, the correlation with employee satisfaction and performance, or profitability is 0.5. How would we know whether it's this path here causing the correlation to be high or these two paths here? How would we know? We don't. We can't. So we have two effects. We have basically effect of employee satisfaction on profitability and profitability on employee satisfaction. Without additional information, we can't say which direction it goes. The correlation is the sum of these two effects. But if we just observe a correlation, we can't say which direction it is. And this is an example of an under-identified model. The decrease of freedom is positive, but the model still is not identified because the reason why it's not identified is that we don't have any exogenous variables. But the idea of identification is whether we can meaningfully estimate the model. So we can always obtain some estimates, but we could just say that, well, this could equally well be zero, and we could have a bit larger effect here. So if we constrain this to be zero, then this just becomes a bit larger. We can compare between this model and previous model. All these effects are about the same. So they're about the same. This one is now larger. And when we go to the next model, it becomes a bit smaller because some of the effect is attributed to this correlation. How these correlation between satisfaction and profitability is parceled into this way effect and that way effect is completely arbitrary. And it was published in a leading journal. So this is an identification issue. It cannot be estimated meaningfully. We'll talk more about that a bit later. But the important concept here is that this is called a non-recursive model. So the idea of recursive and non-recursive model is that recursive models, you can just start from an exogenous variable and always end to an endogenous variable, and you can't go anywhere from that. So if you have models with feedback loops, so you could go from x1 to y1, y2, back and forth, then that is called non-recursive model. Also, you could have correlated errors. So this would be a recursive model because you go to X to Y and then you stay there. You can't travel back and forth. Here, we can go X1 to Y and we could go here and then well, that's recursive. The reason why it's non-recursive, I don't remember why that's the case. But there's two things that make model non-recursive that you need to know. One is that if you have a feedback loop, so if you can go from Y to somewhere, place, and come back using these directed arrows, these causal paths, you have a feedback loop and it's non-recursive. Then a bow pattern means that you have kind of like, you have this bow here, a correlation between two arrow terms, and then you have a string here. So it's called bow, it's like bow with shooting arrows. So you have the bow and then you have the string. And this kind of is non-recursive as well. This one is recursive because it only has the curve, but it doesn't have the string. When you have that kind of models, you have to pay special attention that you have at least one exogenous variable in the model for each of your in your model to make it identified, to allow it to be estimated. So structural ecosystem models, path analytical models can estimate this kind of feedback loops, and we can even estimate a model such as this, where we have a feedback loop here between work-family conflict and family-work conflict. We have a feedback loop, and we also have a correlated error term. So that's kind of like a bow with two strings. And that is identified because we have these exogenous variables here. And just understanding at this point that you need to know is that you can have these special patterns, feedbacks, bow patterns, but it's possible that unless you pay particular attention to your model, it could be non-identified, which means that you can't really say whether the correlation here is because of this effect, that effect, or this correlation.
And how would you make sense of these models?
How do you make sense of that model?
Yes.
Well, you first start by reading the paper that is cited here. But this one is identified because there is the job stressor here influences conflict, which influences family work conflict. So we can estimate job stressor conflict here. Those are observed. And then we can use that correlation to estimate this effect here. And the same here, the other way around. And then whatever of the correlation of these two variables remains unexplained is because of this correlation. Your software that you use for structural ecosystem modeling, when you use these kind of feedback loops or correlated errors, it may tell you that the model is not identified when it's not identified. It may also not notice that your model is not identified. So it's possible to run this model without having any warnings from your software that the model is not identified. So when you add these feedback loops or add correlations between error terms, you are taking a risk. And you should really then read through Klein's book about where this figure comes from and check how you ensure that your model is identified. Identification means that we can say uniquely which of the effect is, which direction it is, or whether it's a correlation or a direct effect. Okay, so we could have a short break now and then talk about comforter factor analysis, and we'll be done about 12:30, then we'll have lunch, then we'll go to the computer lab.